Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we're studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph is a continuation of the message of rebuke to Malchut Yisrael that was expressed in the previous Perek. Hoy hayordim Mitzrayim le'ezra al susim yisha'enu, v'yivtechu al rechev kirav ve'al parashim ki atzmu me'od, v'lo sha'u al kadosh Yisrael ve'at Hashem lo darashu. Oh, those who go down to Egypt for help and rely upon horses. They have put their trust in abundance of chariots, in vast numbers of riders, and they have not turned to the Holy One of Israel. They have not sought Hashem. Again, Yeshayahu admonishes King Hoshea for turning to Egypt for help in Hoshea's desperate attempt to save his kingdom from Assyrian conquest. This perek adds the element of relying on the horses and chariots that Egypt is so famous for. These Egyptian horses are the reason that a Jewish king is prohibited from owning too many horses, as mentioned in Sefer Devarim. Rak lo yarbe lo susim velo yashiv et ha'am mitzrayma leman harbot sus, v'Hashem amar lachem lo tosifun lashuv baderech hazeh od. A king should not keep many horses or send people back to Egypt to add to his horses, since Hashem has warned you, you must not go back that way again. Egypt is known for its Arabian horses, a breed with superior strength and stamina. These horses must have not only been desirable to purchase by kings, Jewish and otherwise, but would have felt like powerful protection to King Hoshea and the tribes of Malchut Yisrael. This is where Yeshayahu focuses his rebuke in Pasuk Aleph. In our last perek, God's anger was directed at the fact that Hoshea's attempt to make an alliance with Egypt felt like a betrayal. We trusted Egypt, which proved to be fickle and unreliable, instead of trusting Hashem, on whom we can always depend. Here, God is angry with Hoshea for how easily he was misled by the physical power and strength of horses and chariots, instead of remembering that Hashem is Kol Yachol, truly powerful, capable of everything. This is a different error than our last perek, not a betrayal of Hashem here, but a misconception about the power and permanence of material things. But is God being fair to Hoshea? Based on the fundamental principle of Ein Somchen al Hanes, that we don't wait for or rely on miracles, isn't Hoshea just doing whatever he can to save his nation? Malbim explains that the ideal is, of course, for a person to find a balance between his human efforts and his reliance on Hashem's help. Of course, it was perfectly normal for King Hoshea to think like a politician and seek an alliance that would get his nation out of trouble with Assyria. Egypt is indeed powerful, its horses and chariots intimidating and mighty. But, as Malbim interprets, Yivtechu al rechev ki ra ve'al parashim ki atzmu me'od ve'lo sha'u al kadosh Yisrael, Hoshea ignored the balance, putting all his faith in those horses and none of his faith in Hashem. According to Abarbanel, Pasuk Bet addresses the unspoken reason for Hoshea's error. V'gam hu chacham v'yavei ra v'ed dvarav lo hesir, v'kam al beit mere'im v'al ezrat po'alei aven. But he too is wise. He has brought on misfortune and has not canceled his word, so he will rise against the house of evildoers and the allies of the workers of iniquity. Abarbanel explains that there were many amongst Bnei Yisrael who believed that Hashem doesn't really know what happens here on earth, and therefore couldn't or wouldn't be able to intervene in their struggle with Assyria. They believed that Hashem wouldn't punish the Assyrians for their siege and conquest of the Jewish kingdom. Pasuk Bet is Yeshayahu's response. V'gam hu chacham, Hashem is wise and of course knows what happens on earth. V'yavei ra, he will indeed bring evil as a punishment for those who deserve it, including, explains Abarbanel, the kingdom of Israel, who might at that point wish that Hashem didn't intervene in human affairs. But he does, with fairness and justice. And so even when his own people are the ones who deserve punishment, God is more than capable of dispensing it. Ve'ed dvarav lo hesir. Hashem doesn't go back on his word. Rashi explains that this is a specific reference to a pasuk in Parshat Ki Tavo, one of the curses God promises if the Jews don't keep the mitzvot and turn to the worship of other gods. V'heshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim ba'aniyot ba'derech asher amarti lecha lo tosif od lirota, v'hitmakartam sham lo'oyvecha la'avadim v'lishvachot ve'ein koneh. God will send you back to Egypt on ships by a route which I told you you should not see again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but none will buy. Rashi suggests that this is God's way of punishing Malchut Yisrael mida keneged mida. God commanded us lo tosif od lirota, never to return to Egypt. Therefore, when Hoshea sends a delegation to Egypt to ask for protection, violating the prohibition against returning there, God says, If you want to go to Egypt so badly, then you'll get your wish. I'll send you there in captivity once again." So Hoshea Melech Israel overemphasized the power of Egypt's horses and chariots and underemphasized the power of Hashem. Yishayahu drives home this mistake in Pasuk Gimel. U'mitzrayim adam velo kel, v'susehem basar velo ruach. For the Egyptians are men, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. V'Hashem yate yado v'chashal ozer v'nafal azur, v'yachdav kulam yichlayun. When Hashem stretches out his arm, the helper will trip and the helped one will fall, and both will perish together. Rashi explains, the entire world rests in the palm of God's hand. So when God stretches out his arm or tilts his hand, he can make his enemies fall. Because Malchut Yisrael relied on Basar velo Ruach, men and horses instead of Hashem, they're the ones who will be tipped out of his hand in punishment. Then, says Yeshayahu in Psukim Dalid and Hay, God will prove that he is the Chacham, the one who knows and sees everything. Malchut Yisrael will fall to Assyria, while in contrast, Malchut Yehuda will survive their conflict with the Assyrian army. This is proof that God intervenes in the world, punishing or protecting those who deserve it. Yeshayahu says, because Chizkiyahu trusted Hashem to save Malchut Yehuda from the hands of Assyria, Hashem will protect Yerushalayim ka'asher yehege ha'aryeh v'hakfir al tarfo, asher yikare alav melo ro'im, mikolam lo yechat u'mehamonam lo ya'aneh. Like a lion hovers over his prey, not losing focus even when the shepherds approach him with the intention to do harm, God will hover over the city of Yerushalayim. His attention won't falter, even when her enemies approach. Kitziporim afot ken yagen Hashem tzvakot al Yerushalayim. Like birds that fly, Hashem will shield Yerushalayim from attack. Radak explains, God is like a lion in his great strength and like a bird in his speed, quick to defend Malchut Yehuda against Assyria. Ibn Ezra suggests that Hashem will protect Yerushalayim like a bird spreads its wings to cover its young. Abarbanel adds that just like a bird can fly back and forth quickly, covering a large distance in a very short time, so God can protect the entire city of Yerushalayim and even the entire Malchut Yehuda all at once. One God is better protection than an entire army. After describing God's robust defense of Malchut Yehuda, Yishayahu turns back to the Jews of Malchut Yisrael and begs them to do teshuva. Shuvu la'asher ha'amiku sara b'nei Yisrael. Return, children of Israel, to him to whom they have been so shamefully false. Yishayahu urges the Jews of the northern kingdom to take a lesson from the Jews of Yehuda and turn towards Hashem. Radak explains that ultimately, when Hashem destroys the Assyrian Empire, the Jews of Malchut Yisrael will recognize and regret their failure to trust in his power to save them, but by then it'll be too late. Have some foresight, urges Yishayahu. Regret and repent now and reap the reward instead of a punishment. The time will come, says Pasuk Zayin, ki bayom hahu yimasun ish elilei kaspo ve'elilei zahavo asher asu lachem yedechem chet. For on that day everyone will reject his idols of silver and idols of gold, which your hands have made for your guilt. When God unleashes his wrath on Assyria, causing that mighty empire to fall, it'll become clear to all that idol worship was a mistake. There will be no denying the power of Hashem. On that day, says Pasuk Chet, V'nafal Ashur b'cherev lo ish v'cherev lo adam tochalenu, v'naslo mipnei cherev uvachurav lamas yihiyu. Assyria will fall, not by the sword of man. A sword not of humans will devour him. He will shrivel before the sword, and his young men pine away. Abarbanel explains, remember that Israel's mistake in Pasuk Aleph of our Perek was that physical objects were the only thing that made them feel safe, turning as they did to Arabian horses and Egyptian chariots. But God will destroy Assyria becherev lo ish becherev lo adam, not with a physical sword, but with his divine power. Malbim explains the seemingly repetitive phrase, becherev lo ish becherev lo adam. Sometimes conquering our enemies is a joint venture between us and Hashem. God causes our enemies to fall into our hands becherev lo ish, but it is then our swords, our cherev adam, that finish those enemies off. This was true, for example, in Yericho. Hashem miraculously broke down the walls of the fortress, and then the Jewish army entered the city and finished the victory, v'yacharimu et kol asher ba'ir lefi charev, with their swords. The Assyrians, however, were destroyed completely by a miraculous plague sent by God. Instead of the two-step partnership that conquered Yericho, God conquered the Assyrian army becherev lo ish, with his divine power, and v'cherev lo adam, with no human help whatsoever. And when Sancheiriv, king of Assyria, saw the decimation of his entire battalion in one night by a sudden plague, V'sal'omi magor ya'avor v'chatumi ne'sarav, ne'um Hashem asher ur lo b'tzion v'tanur lo b'Yerushalayim. His rock will melt with terror, and his officers will collapse from weakness, declares Hashem, who has a fire in Zion, who has an oven in Yerushalayim. Sancheiriv, the rock of Assyria, was terrified. Abarbanel explains, V'chatumi ne'sarav, the few officers who somehow survived the plague collapsed in fear at witnessing the devastating miracle. The last words of this pasuk, which are the last words of the whole perek, describe God as having an oven in Yerushalayim. Abarbanel explains that an oven is the sign of a permanent dwelling. You have an oven in your home, not in a hotel or a temporary residence. If God has an oven in Yerushalayim, that signifies that he has chosen Yerushalayim as his dwelling place, his permanent home. This explains, without explicitly saying so, why God prevents Sancheiriv from successfully conquering Yerushalayim, destroying his army instead in that overnight plague. God is defending Yerushalayim, not only like a lion and a bird, but like someone who lives there and loves the city, like someone would defend their own home. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.